This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 2441, How You Get There, by Colin Wright of ExileLifestyle.com. And I'm your narrator, Justin Mollick, the guy that reads blogs or articles to you every single day of the year, including weekends and holidays. I appreciate you listening every single day. It really means a lot. I have a post today from Colin Wright, one of the authors that I find a bit more challenging to narrate, but always with an interesting take. Anyway, with that, let's get right to it as we optimize your life. How You Get There, by Colin Wright of ExileLifestyle.com. One of the major challenges we face as an increasingly interconnected, globe-straddling species is how we organize ourselves even as our traditional distinctions dissipate. It's easy to look around at the surging waves of nationalism and assume that this isn't an issue. We've clearly got our distinctions firmly in place. But a lot of what's happening today is a reflexive, unaimed mule kick at a perceived attacker that's whittled away at our borders, our cultural identities, and our sense of geographic communities for decades. We were already knocking down walls leading up to the age of the microchip and fiber optic cables, but the internet revolution, followed by the mobile internet revolution, blasted what was left of those walls into dust. So now we see the inevitable knee-jerk pushback against these perceived incursions, but this is most likely just a moment, not a new reality. The bigger picture, the larger wave, is one of new awareness and fewer divisions. We have just as many labels as we've always had, but we're also more knowledgeable about people who wear different labels than we do. And with that knowledge comes a slow, certain expansion of our communication channels and interactions. There's still a chance that what's happening in China and increasingly in places like Russia will spread farther and wider. Government lockdowns don't prevent the spread of information, but they do control the mainstream storyline. This has certain benefits for those in power and can result in new, invisible cyber walls. But in the long term, those too are likely to fall to the erosion of cultural tides and the explosive attention of digital sappers. The aforementioned challenge of organization, then, is the somewhat unnoticed but very real next step issue we'll have to face. When conventions shift and traditions seem less and less relevant to each new generation, how do new communities coalesce? Or in more practical terms, when neighborhoods cease to be unified, when neighbors seldom even know each other by name because our connections, our most important relationships, are expansive and far-flung, no longer limited by geography, who are our neighbors? Who do we turn to when something goes wrong? What brings us together and gives us something to rally around? For some people, the obvious answer will be the communities that share their faith. For others, it'll be groups of people with whom they share some other ideology or hobby. Maybe your local board gaming club will be as close to a family as you've ever had beyond your circle of blood relatives. But it seems to me that very often, we leave a lot of potential community-building opportunities on the table. We look for obvious labels, shared in-group affiliations, rather than expanding our scope and considering what we actually hope to accomplish. Consider that your local secular humanist group might share a lot of common ground with your local Christian youth group. Perhaps their ideas about how the universe was created differs. Perhaps they have conflicting ideas about prayer and science and politics. But both of these groups may see the value in helping homeless people in their community. Perhaps both groups have a tradition of working at the local soup kitchen on holidays and contributing to charities that provide food to the homeless on a more regular basis. There are many differences between these two groups, but in this instance, at least, there's sufficient commonality that they could probably amplify their efforts if they work together in some way. They might even benefit from each other's insights on the matter, though simply adding more hands, more wallets to their efforts would be enough. One of the major issues contributing to the current wave of cultural sequestration, of unhealthy tribalism, is that we see ourselves walking along a particular path toward concrete milestones and goals, and we identify ourselves based on the path, the exact placement of each foot. And we do this to the exclusion of anyone else who might be headed in the same direction, aiming at the same or similar goals and milestones because they didn't arrive there via the exact same path as us. They maybe took a more meandering route or came at it from a different direction. They want to feed the hungry because their faith prescribes it, and you want to feed the hungry because you believe doing it is a latently moral pursuit. In some things, how you get there matters. If you earn $1 million by stealing other people's savings, that's very different from earning $1 million by inventing a cure for malaria. In other things though, most things perhaps, the way you get there is less relevant than what you're trying to achieve, what you hope to accomplish, and how you decide to do so. By looking around, looking at the other people who are walking in similar directions or towards similar goals, we may be able to not just better accomplish these same objectives, these collective pursuits, but we may also find ourselves opening up to new ideas about who is part of our in-group and who isn't. We may find that just about anyone can, on the context of some shared goal and some facet of life, seem very similar to us, can be respectable by our standards, and we by theirs. It'll still be a little while, I think, before we start to feel most of the temporal negative consequences of our new technologies, our smartphones and social networks. These are innovations that are incredibly valuable, but we haven't updated our thinking, our norms, in such a way that we can use them optimally. Today, many of us cling to filler identities, slogans and platforms shouted by brands, be they political or corporate, that help us feel like we're part of something, but which often fail to align with our actual ideals and values with adequate accuracy. How you get there matters, but where you're going and actually getting there is also important. Keep that in mind when you look out into the world seeking allies, camaraderie, and community. You just listened to the post titled, How You Get There by Colin Wright of ExileLifestyle.com. Okay, sponsor time. And instead of reading a script about Gusto's benefits, let's hear from small business owners, the people who use Gusto every day like me. Here's one. With Gusto, I think of payroll as a 30-second job. The website is so friendly and a joy to use. Friendly payroll? You don't hear that every day. Amy from Utah says, I love Gusto so much. They do our medical, dental, vision, and life insurance. It's so painless. It's like going to the spa. And we have great options and rates, even though we're a super small team. Health insurance like going to the spa? Wow. And here's what Amneet says about Gusto's support team. Whenever something comes up, I reach out and literally 24 hours later, they tell us what to do or assure us that they've already handled it for us. Smart technology and friendly humans? That's cool. Honestly, the list goes on. And right now our listeners get 3 months free when they go to gusto.com/old. Yep, 3 months of payroll, benefits, admin, and more, totally free. Again, that's gusto.com/old. Thank you to Colin. When I hear words like lockdowns, spread of information, mainstream storylines, my mind tends to go towards March of 2020 when we experienced a massive shift in our day-to-day lives. But it turns out that he wrote this article back in December of 2017, a couple of years before all of that happened. But that was just the beginning of the article. What he's really talking about here is instead of focusing on the differences that you and I have, why not focus on the commonalities? Surely there's something that we both want, possibly for different reasons, but if we both work towards it, even if in somewhat different ways, we can end up united. And as he explained, once we realize that, then maybe our minds can open up to how and why someone else reached a goal, and we can learn something from them, maybe even take on some of their habits or values, even traditions and beliefs, possibly. There's a lot we can learn from those that are different from us, but it can certainly help to find common ground first instead of looking at what are often superficial differences. So search for those commonalities in others today. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you actually in just a second with a bonus episode for the week where your optimal life awaits.